I want to read the first few verses of chapter 5. It says, "All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, 'We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were one who led Israel in their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be become their ruler.'" So here there's three different reasons why they believe that David should be anointed king. One, that he was their own flesh and blood, that he was an Israelite. Two, he led many successful military campaigns. And I want to go back to 1 Samuel in chapter 18. And let's look at a couple different verses. Verse 5. Whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was very successful. And then in verse 13 and 14, it says, so he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops into their campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. And then in verse 30, it says, the Philistine commanders continued to go out to battle. And as often as they did, David met with more success than the rest of Saul's officers, and his name became well known. The verse in verse 3, it says that he was to be the shepherd of Israel. And shepherd was used as a metaphor in the ancient times as a leader. So he was considered a leader in the Israelis' eyes. David was like Jesus. He was a shepherd of the souls of the Israelites. And I think of Psalm 23, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down into green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And it goes on. This is what a true shepherd does. And what do you think when you think of a shepherd? A shepherd protects, guides, leads, feeds, is deeply concerned with the welfare of the sheep, of his flock. He anoints the sheep with oil to protect them from flies and insects that can actually lead to death. And I've read some wonderful books by Reverend Philip Keller. And Reverend Philip Keller was a sheep herder for many years before he became a pastor and became a writer. And he has several really good books. The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm is one of his. The Shepherd Looks at the Lamb of God. The Shepherd Looks at the Good Shepherd. And he had some incredible insight into Jesus by his understanding of, being a sheep herder himself. a true sheep herder like David actually was willing to sacrifice his life for a sheep. And there are accounts where David killed a lion and killed a bear because he was protecting his sheep. And obviously that was very dangerous. And I'm sure that he had plenty of scars as a result of destroying those animals. So we see this as a symbol of Jesus, and Jesus obviously sacrificed his life for us. And then he poured out his anointing of the Holy Spirit. So that's really important to see that, as a sheep herder, they anointed the sheep with oil to protect them from death. And that's the same what Jesus does with us. He anoints us with the power of the Holy Spirit when we confess our sins and accept Jesus Christ into our life. Let's look at verse 6 in chapter 5. It says, "The king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, 'You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off.' They thought, 'David can't get in here.'" This shows the arrogance of an unbeliever, one who worships Satan, the Jebusites. And they said, "There's no way David can conquer Jerusalem." But David did conquer Jerusalem, and he then built up Jerusalem, and he named it the City of David. And then going down to verse 10, it says, "And he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him." Because David sought and honored and worshiped God Almighty, God gave David favor. The conquest of Jerusalem was really significant in terms of uniting the northern kingdom, Israel, with Judah. They needed a neutral site for the capital, and because Jerusalem at that point in time was controlled by the Jebusites, they needed to conquer that, and therefore that helped unite the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom or Judah to become one nation. And interesting, Haran, the king of Tyre, sends materials and laborers to help build David's palace. So, what this meant is that David was being recognized not only as the king and monarch of Israel, but he was being recognized in the world as well, in other nations. And then let's look at verse 19. "The Lord answered him, 'Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands.'" David, the Philistines, when they heard that David became king, said, "Okay, we're going to go after David because he's our arch enemy." And the first thing that David did was go to the Lord and say, "Will you give the Philistines into my hands?" This is what Saul didn't do, and he went up and was defeated by the Philistines, and he didn't obey the word of God that came through Samuel. But David had a heart after the Father God, and so he sought the Lord before he went, and God gave them the victory. Then in verse 21, it says, "And the Philistines, the Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off." Okay, that's not the one I wanted. Verse 24. As soon as you hear the sounds of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move quickly because that will mean that the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistines. Now, this was the second time that David approached the God and asking him, will you give me favor? Should I go up against the Philistines? And God answered in a different way, that you, when you hear the sound of marching in the top of the poplar trees, then go forth because I've gone before you to defeat the Philistines. Spurgeon's comments on this particular passage was said that it's important to listen to God's spiritual timing, because they weren't supposed to attack the Philistines until they heard the rustling of the marching army in the tops of the trees. So this is a lesson to us in terms of spiritual timing. Christians must not move in their own strength, but they need to wait for the rustling or the speaking of the Holy Spirit. Then God will bring the victory in our lives, no matter what the circumstances we're facing. And then going to chapter 6, and you see that David wants to bring the ark to Jerusalem. And he has gathered 30,000 men with him to celebrate bringing up the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. He puts the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart. And David and all the Israelites were celebrating with all their might. And when you look at the definition of might in Hebrew, it means strength, power, fortification, fortified, great power, resounding, and greatly embodied. So you see that David is celebrating with all his might, with all his power, with all his strength, just resounding praise and adoration unto the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty. And you have all these different instruments just worshiping the Lord. I mean, it's just a huge celebration. But then the oxen stumble, and Uzziah reaches up and puts his hand on the ark to keep it from falling. And then God strikes Uzziah down. Obviously, David was furious, and a lot of people were wondering, what's going on? Why has this happened? And it's important to understand that God is a holy God, and it's a jarring reminder of God's holiness. So, why was this an irreverent act, which is what it says in the scriptures? David ended up copying the Philistines' method, which was a worldly approach to transporting the ark, which is the very presence of God Almighty. Instead, he put it in a new cart instead of doing exactly what the law specified of how you transport the ark. And you need to go back to Numbers chapter 4, verse 15, and it says this: after Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy furnishings and all the holy articles, And when the camp is ready to move, only the Kohathites to come and to do the carrying. But they must not touch the holy thing or they will die. The Kohathites, who are Levites, are to carry those things that are in the tent of meeting. All the articles in the tent of the meeting that were used in worship all had these little, well, yeah, I guess you could say they're circles, little coins that you put poles through so you didn't touch the holy articles. And that's how they were to be carried by poles by the Levites. So they did not touch the presence of the living God. So David had good intentions, but it doesn't excuse his disobedience because he ignored God's instructions. Quoting Dr. David Jeremiah in quotes, we cannot approach God casually. His holiness demands reverence and obedience. Then, quoting Dr. David Jeremiah again, worship is not about creativity only. It must be rooted in obedience. Spiritual enthusiasm does not equal spiritual correctness. End quote. How often do we have good intentions, but it's not what God desires us to do? And again, David was very furious. It went from great joy to deep anger and being furious with God and being terrified and yeah, just to, full of fear. So what David did, he took the ark instead of taking it to Jerusalem, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, and it remained there for 3 months. The Lord really blessed Obed-Edom's house, he and his household. Excuse me. And when David heard this, he came back down because he wanted to have the blessings in Jerusalem, in the capital, the city of David. This time, he had the Kohathites carry the ark. And after only 6 steps, he stopped, and David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David was honoring, revering, worshiping, and proclaiming God's sovereignty, his holiness, and his righteousness. And David stripped off all his robes, his kingly robes, and he put on the ephod, which is only worn by the high priest. And if you go back and look at how God explained what Israelites were supposed to do and how the high priest was to be dressed, the ephod was one of the garments of the high priest. So David stripped off his kingly robes and put on priestly robes. So you see God showing us David's heart. It was a humble heart. He'd humbled himself with deep reverence and great expectation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the true King of Israel. David danced in front of the Lord with all his might, all his strength. He had just exuberant joy, great elation, and deep, passionate worship. And there were shouts of acclamation, and the trumpets were blaring with exultation. For God Almighty's favor would again rest on the city of David. And would end up blessing the house of David. God was exalted as the true king of Israel, and that's what David was pointing to the Israelites to worship the true king. In 2 Samuel 6, chapter 6 and verse 16, it says this. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from the window. And when she saw a king leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. The definition of despised in Hebrew is to scorn, to ridicule, to show contempt and be contemptible. So you see Michal being full of ridicule and scorn and showing deep contempt towards David. She ridiculed him and thought he was very unkingly. But David was concentrating on setting up the ark, and he'd made a tent to house the ark. And then, after he did a burnt offering sacrifice and a fellowship offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And he gave each person, both male and female, loaves of bread. And when I thought about that, I was thinking, they're giving the bread of life, Jesus, to all the Israelites that had come to worship and have the celebration of returning the ark, the very holy presence of God, into Jerusalem. So then I want to go down to verse 20, and actually the second part of the verse. And this is Michal, the daughter of Saul, speaking. How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would. So you can see that Michal is full of disgust, is really ashamed of how David is acting. She truly had the mindset of Saul, which was influenced by his evil ways. She was full of pride, was a slave to sin. She didn't worship the Lord God Almighty. She felt that it wasn't fitting for a king to dance half naked. She looked as a king as being having a royal outward appearance, status, being dignified, formality. This was more important than showing emotions and worshiping the Lord. He had to be prim and proper and aristocratic That is how a king should act, and that is how Mikel thought. She was very prideful, judgmental, and full of disdain against David. This was the lingering mindset of the Saulian dynasty. David's response to Michal when was faced with that, he said, "I celebrate before the Lord God Almighty, and I don't care how I look. I will become even more indignant, and I will be even more humiliated in my own eyes before the Lord." David had great humility, and his desire was to worship the Lord God Almighty. He truly was a man after God's own heart. And David says, "The Lord chose me as king, not your father or anyone in Saul's house. God has anointed me. And the slave girls will even honor me." Michal was spiritually and physically barren for the rest of her life. So this is symbolically marks the final end of Saul's royal line and the beginning of David's spiritual reign. And that reign reigns forever because David was the line that Jesus was born. And it said that David's dynasty would last forever, his kingdom would last forever, and it was through Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of our Messiah. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your words of life and truth. Father, cause us to be men that will dance and worship before you with all our might, with all our soul, with all our strength, that we will not allow the world to define us, Lord God, but that we might truly have hearts that are full of compassion, full of grace and mercy, and that we might walk in your steadfast love. And we thank you, Father, for that. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Roger.
God bless you guys. Have an awesome study.
You too, Roger. I'm going to try to take us out of
Roger, what a
here.
blessing. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, Bo.
Great.
Hey, good
Yeah.
morning, guys.
Good morning. Great lesson. What an unbelievable area of scripture, isn't that just
Oh,
incredible?
yeah, really. I mean, just, God is just so good. It just feels so rich. And the foreshadowing and the just is, when you the more you study the Word of God, the more you see how Jesus is revealed throughout, all the scriptures. Have you read any of Philip Keller's books, Dennis?
Have I
Oh,
what?
have you read any of Philip Keller's books?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, the ones that I mentioned, his books on, he's got, I think, probably five books on, Jesus as the shepherd, the Good Shepherd, and the Lord is my shepherd. And he's got this wonderful book on one of his sheepdogs, the lessons that he learned through his sheepdog. Just powerful. And the I mentioned in my talk that they get these flies that get into the nose of the sheep, and they lay eggs, and it causes them to go wild. I mean, I don't know exactly what, those.